Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, you're no doubt familiar with the term gender fluid, but sexual fluidity seems to be on the increase too. Various studies seem to indicate that women particularly are trying things that they mightn't have previously considered. Elizabeth Morgan is Associate Professor of Psychology at Springfield College in Massachusetts, and she joins us now on News Talk. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Could you start with, I suppose, the figures, and as far as there are figures, to show how sexual fluidity has changed or kind of morphed a lot over the last decade or two, particularly in regard to women?
Sure, yeah. So what we've seen is some trends over the last decade plus, right, in more women both mentioning a same-sex attraction, but also identifying with labels that indicate that, right? So bisexual or pansexual, queer, lesbian, those sorts of things. I think the figures, of course, it depends on who you're talking to. And with some of the most recent data that we've been looking at, it's young women, college students often. We're seeing rates at about, initially starting closer to 3 or 4% and moving up to 8 or 10. And in some cases, much higher as far as attraction goes, up to 40 or 50% of young women mentioning at least some same-sex attraction.
Mm. As women get older, does that change in the sense of the same cohort who would be exclusively heterosexual? Does that figure remain the same as they get, if they say they hit the 30s or 40s even?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of the research is in the younger areas, but as we move into 30 and 40s, we can still see some shifts in what people recognize as their attraction. So if you hit somebody when they're 25 and they might say, no, I'm really only attracted to men. And then you talk to the same woman at 35 or 40, it's definitely possible that she may mention, yes, there's been a woman I've been attracted to or I noticed attraction. So we definitely see shifts in what people report of their attraction as they get older, which is a little counterintuitive, right? You'd think as you get older, you'd settle and you'd pick something and stick with it. But you do still see some change in adjustments. And we have some interesting, media examples of women who have been in other sex marriages for a long time and at 45, 50, 55 decide, no, I fell in love with a woman. Here I am.
Yeah, well, I suppose maybe there might be a component of confidence and getting to know yourself as you get older in that. That might be something you mightn't have dared to do when you're in your 20s.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, what other people think of you matters, and maybe it matters a little bit less when you're 45 or 50. Who you meet, right? You meet someone that you fall in love with or can get in that relationship with. So all those different factors can play into how maybe authentic you can be with yourself.
Comparatively speaking, the figures for men, do they just stay pretty much the same?
We have seen some changes. A lot of studies are these cohort models, right, where you're not sticking with the same man from 20 to 30 to 40. So it's a little bit hard to see some of those shifts. But we've seen some changes over time where more men are relaying same-sex attraction. But less so than women, right? So we see more mentions of bisexuality among men, a little bit more recognition of same-sex attraction, a little bit more behavior, right, being reported, a few more people identifying as gay or pansexual or queer as men, not at the same rates of women and not at the same rates of change as women.
Right. Okay. Now, maybe this is the speculative part as to why there is this difference. Is the kind of friendships women have with each other, could that be a factor?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great point. I think we've seen a lot of evidence and stories and research that supports that women may have the ability, they're allowed to have really close friendships that are very emotional and deep. And absolutely establishing that emotional connection and that emotional intimacy could lead to feelings of attraction or recognition or interest in entering into a committed and romantic relationship. So we do see women in particular mentioning that that's how they first noticed their same-sex attraction and that's how they first got into a same-sex relationship. And of course, on the men's side, we maybe don't allow men to have that deep of relationships with each other, or explore that possibility. So you could see a little difference there. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, I'm wildly generalizing here, but you could see how if one woman says to the other, I also kind of fancy you a bit. It wouldn't be such a big deal if a guy says it to another guy, like that's almost a deal breaker. Everyone gets awkward.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We have different expectations for men and women and what they can do and not do in those situations.
Also, though, as well, I mean, that must be a huge factor here. Must be the changing mores of the time, plus also feminism and women, you know, have more of a sense of they can be who they want to be. And that doesn't mean necessarily a fixed quantity.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's been a lot of the ideas about why we might see more of these changes in women, right? That women are just have a little bit more control over what they do, maybe don't need to rely on men as much in their relationships, can do their own thing and don't need to get into a marriage with a man necessarily. So they have some of these options. And then in general, yes, I mean, you see in the media a little bit more acceptance or even sometimes a lot of positivity around two women kissing or women being together, right? And so as you start seeing celebrities come out, you start seeing more acceptance, you start seeing that, especially as it pertains to women's sexuality, that can absolutely shift some of those mores and that climate to allow especially younger women to say, hey, this is something I might recognize in myself and want to explore a bit more.
Yeah. As for what this tells us about what the future might be like, might our future be in 20, 30 years time be unrecognizable to what it is now? Or will there be so many acronyms and terms for how you describe yourself that you need to bring a guidebook with you of some sort?
Sure. I think you already need a guidebook. There's so many terms out there that are already changing. The acronym's gotten so long. And I think that's great, right? As people understand themselves differently and want to differentiate themselves, finding new terms that you feel comfortable with is fine. And yes, you just have to try to keep up with that. There's such a biological component of this as well. I don't think we're going to see a situation where 30 years from now, 80% of people are in same-sex relationships, right? Our biology just has shown us that there's some pretty consistent patterns in what percentage of people, you know, kind of do experience these attractions. And even though they've grown, it's you know, at a relatively small frequency. So, but I think the understanding of it's going to definitely shift and change. And we see more people talking about asexuality now. We have all these new terms like pansexual that's been around for a while, but only relatively recently people start identifying with. And there's a big group of people who really have adopted that term. So, I have no idea what we're going to see in 20 years.
Yeah, it's a fascinating prospect nonetheless. Elizabeth Morgan is Associate Professor of Psychology at Springfield College in Massachusetts. Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.